The small island nation of Bahrain was one of those places convulsed by protests during the Arab Spring. Now Bahrain isn't in the news very much, but that doesn't mean the protests that started in 2011 are over. In fact, they've continued all along. That's according to Elizabeth Dickinson, a journalist based in Abu Dhabi. She has a new e-book called Who Shot Ahmed? It was published by a group called the Development and Aid World News Service, DAWNS. Dickinson tells the story of Ahmed Ismail Hassan al-Samadi, a young man who was shot and killed while he videotaped a protest in 2012.
Well, Ahmed was sort of the typical young man who was really energized by everything that started happening with the Arab Spring. Ahmed was the store clerk during the day, so he was really just sort of the average kid on, you know, the average kid that you know from the neighborhood. One of his passions was photography, and when the uprising first started, he saw what happened in Egypt, he saw what happened in Tunisia, and realized that photography, that video, was going to be so important in organizing and really bringing people together for these sorts of demonstrations. So he really jumped in, and from almost day one of the protests, he really saw it as his mission to record what was happening in Bahrain.
And he is a Shiite living in a Sunni-dominated country, right? And that makes a difference.
So he is a member of the Shiite community, and the majority, actually, of Bahrain is Shiite. It's not a large majority. It's about 60-40. But the country is ruled by Sunni leaders, and for a long time there have been tensions over whether there is discrimination on the kingdom. So, for example, you know, if government is giving jobs to members of the Shiite community, if, you know, Shiites are living in certain areas that maybe aren't as well serviced with things like hospitals and electricity, things like this.
Now, there are, as you suggested, lots of young men who are out on the streets demonstrating against the government. Why Ahmed's story? What drew you to him?
Well, during one of my visits to Bahrain, in the sort of early days of the uprising, if you remember, a lot of the sort of momentum of the protests would go up and down depending on what was happening, and frankly, whether or not there were casualties. And I happened to arrive the day after Ahmed died, and everyone was talking about Ahmed's death. I think it wasn't just because he had been the most recent person to die, but it was also because everyone felt like they could relate to him. He was so young, he was so hopeful. By all accounts, he was a very quiet, normal boy. And the fact that he got caught up in this violence really touched people personally. For me, I went and was able to talk to Ahmed's family the day after he died. I witnessed and saw very close personally how they were mourning and just how difficult it was for his sisters, his brothers. And as I was leaving, Ahmed's sister took my hand and she said to me with the voice that I can't forget, she said, "I want to see you again." I didn't forget that.
Now, in one part of your ebook, you say Bahrain is the Middle East's forgotten revolution. Is it still going on there? Has it been sort of snuffed out by the government? Where do things stand?
Well, this is one of the amazing things about Bahrain that continues to amaze me every single day that I cover it, is that if you go to Bahrain any day of the week, you will find a protest in at least one of the villages that's going on. So the persistence of this uprising is really, it's really jarring, and it's really surprising for an outsider to see that despite the fact that there's very little international attention, there's no one watching, you know, these protests continue to go on.
Now, what about Ahmed's family? They've lost a son now. Do they think about joining protests, or has this driven them away?
As I've gone back to visit Ahmed's family over the months, it's been amazing to see how much it has affected them. Before Ahmed died, members of his family, so for example, his father, would very rarely go to protests. This was sort of an average family, really not very politicized. After Ahmed's death, all of that seemed to change. And in many ways, Ahmed was sort of kept alive by members of his family. So his father took up his filming. Now, almost every week, at least at one of the protests, you'll see Ahmed's father carrying his son's camera, filming the protest, carrying on exactly the way that Ahmed did. Meanwhile, other members of his family have sort of picked up other parts of Ahmed's work. Some of them are active online. Some of them write, you know, and sort of do community organizing. Basically, they've become stronger members of the opposition because of what happened to their son than they ever would have been before.
Reporter Elizabeth Dickinson, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You can read excerpts of the book, Who Shot Ahmed, at PRI.org.